So I've been binging.
Oh, this is a good wine. It's not bad.
It's not bad.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like with Pinot Noir, sometimes it can have like a bitter bite to it, but it's not bad. It's basic bitch wine.
Why I've been binging the Why I'm Single podcast for the last couple of days.
Okay. You heard the Beauty's Biscuit spot?
Amy, I don't know which Amy it is, but like she, I guess, has a boob boob complex because her boobs are so big.
Yeah, she said she'd give me some.
I was like, oh, and you know, because you know, little booby chicks were like, oh my god, I'd love to have your boobs. And she's like, yeah, I'd like to have yours.
Let's do a boob switch.
I'm just like, these boobs are just, ugh, I don't care.
I don't care about my boobs.
My boobs are, they're like... annoying.
Your boobs do look kind of big today.
Well, they are. It's like they keep getting bigger, but it's like my bra. Like I have to buy new bras.
What size is that? Double D?
Yeah.
Double D? Go ahead, girl.
I don't want to have a double D because it's hard to find bras.
There's always hope that your boobs will continue to grow.
I don't want them to grow anymore. I want them to get smaller. Like I was perfectly fine at a C, but I know, and like if I lost weight, then of course they would shrink.
Yeah, dude, that's where mine have gone. I've got nothing.
Yeah, so like when I was doing when I was doing all that
insanity
and Turbo Fire, my boobs were gone. Like I was nothing. Flat.
You were part of the itty bitty titty committee.
Yeah, it was like
you're the president.
Meow. So you know, maybe if I just start working out like a psycho again, they'll go away.
Nobody got time for that. All right, so Brandy, how was your week?
My week was... it was okay. Like, nothing of, like, you know...
note.
Yeah, nothing super mentionable. I started working on this, collar like thing, so I have to buy a collar and I'm gonna attach the beads to the collar and then it'll be a beaded collar. Mm-hmm. And it's more like a girl dog collar.
Some guy dogs like pizzazz and
well, it's like
zazzle,
little, yeah, but it's not the beads zazzle. Aren't they're not like male dog, you know, colors or whatever.
I don't think you should really,
or is it dog trans dog?
What
now?
Is it called?
Assign a gender to a leash?
Yeah.
I mean, to a collar?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Because Moses has like a pride. He has like a colorful one. Collar.
Well, that's fine. But I'm just saying, like, this collar, if you put it on your dog, everybody would think your dog's a girl.
And that's okay. It could be a girl. It could be a boy. You've got a 50% chance to figure out what kind of dog it is.
My dog is trans. Don't assign my dog an identity, a gender identity.
Don't you put my dog in a freaking box.
Oh my god. But yeah, so how was your week?
How was my week? I was not looking forward to going back to work after the 4th of July and being off for like so many days. It's just like, ugh.
Yeah.
Back to work, whistle while I work.
Dun, 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 dun. I was actually hoping for another earthquake. Like, I've been hoping.
There was an earthquake on Friday.
I've been hoping for, like, I didn't feel it.
There was an earthquake Friday morning about 6 a.m.
Oh, no,
Brinley kicked me out of my bed, so I went and I got in her bed, and I woke up, like, at 6, and I felt, like, some shaking, and I was like, oh, okay. And then everybody in L.A. felt it, and then, like, the facilities department finally sent out an email, was like, what to do in the case of an earthquake?
She's finally.
Like, 2 weeks later, like, come on, a little late there.
Yeah, I had a dream last night, actually, or maybe it was this morning, you know, it was this morning, but I had a dream that there was, like, a massive earthquake, and, like, I was in some old-ass house, and the windows, all the windows cracked.
Maybe you jumped into someone else's body in a different time, or maybe in the future,
and it was an old-ass house with, like, all these windows. and they all cracked. And I was like, we need to call the landlord to fix these fucking windows. And there was some like little asshole kid. This dream was like really weird. And I always have like really vivid, weird dreams. Mm-hmm. There was these asshole kids mm-hmm. that were like taking pictures. Cause like the windows didn't have curtains. So you could see into the house. Mm-hmm. And like, they were like looking through the bedroom windows and stuff.
Creep.
And I was like, get the fuck out of here.
Motherfucking
and,
creep.
And yeah, it was just like a weird ass dream. I don't know what the hell that was about. But anyway, yeah.
Well, work was fine. We went to Fresno yesterday. So that was fun. We had a little pool party.
I know, I saw y'all in the pool in the pictures. I was like, damn it. How come I can't go to the pool?
You went to TLC.
But you didn't invite me to Fresno.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Ashley, I want to come to your pool.
Ashley, invite me over to your pool. Yeah, so it was fun. We saw Angela and the Roop and Farrah. Oh my! I can see my veins in my foot.
Oh, okay.
Is that good or bad?
It's
nothing.
Just a thing.
But if I was a freaking tweaker, I'd be like, ooh, these are some good veins.
Or a heroin addict.
Look at like.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe I've just never noticed it.
Probably. Because I can see mine.
And they go this way?
Yeah.
That's weird. I've never noticed the veins in my feet. So random. Anyway, it was a good weekend. We had fun. I drank far too much champagne and I fell asleep.
I was drinking the champs.
I was drinking champs. I fell asleep. And my husband was like, where am I going to sleep? I was like, I don't know.
Jeez. At what time?
Like 10 o'clock.
No, that's not like early.
Yeah, I put the kids in the bed. I was like, go to sleep. I got in the bed with them and we all went to sleep.
And well, she just left him out.
Yeah, he slept on an air mattress somewhere. Like, good luck with him. Good luck.
Somewhere.
Good luck, buddy. It was a full house.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah. But anyway, let's get to it. I'm Sunny Hepburn.
And I'm Brandy Fleeks.
And this is Book of Lies, the podcast. How do you say a book of lies in Spanish?
Libro de mentiras.
Libro de mentiras. Is that what, yeah? Mm-hmm. Look at me. That's right. All right, Brandy. I'm sorry. Let's read a review.
Okay.
We got some reviews. We got a lot of reviews this week, and I'm not going to read you guys all the reviews, but everyone that left us a review on iTunes, again, thank you so much. We really appreciate it. It helps people find us.
Yeah, give them a shout out by their name.
Okay. Name. Thank you, Brandy. So I'll give you guys a shout out who left reviews, but I will only read one review. So who's it going to be? I should enter like a drum roll thing. I need to find a drum roll soundbite. Probably not going to be this time, guys, because I'm not good at finding things sometimes. So, the drum roll soundbite thingy. So we got left a review by, let me read this one. It's called An Amazing and Enlightening Show. So it says, the show is funny, entertaining, and informative. It covers lying liars and the lies they tell. A piece of true crime I didn't even know I needed. These amazing women are my new heroes. They're educating us all so we don't get duped again. Mm. You should definitely hit that subscribe button now. And that comes from Linda. Cage's Kiss. But I won't put your first and last name out there, girl. I got you. I'll keep your anonymity. But she...
Anonymity?
Yeah, that word. She has Cage's Kiss podcast, and they love Nick Cage.
Oh, God, really?
It's all about Nick Cage. But it goes into far more than just Nick Cage. I like how they kind of break down the movies and the backstory of them and, like, the other characters that involved and, like, the drama with, like, the filming and the characters and stuff like that. So if you guys are into Nick Cage or you're into movies and podcasts that talk about movies, check out Cage's Kiss. But we did also get left a review by, it's from Fade Glow. Fade Glow.
Sade? Is it S-A-D-E?
It is.
It's probably Sade.
I'm sorry, Sade Glow? I should know better. I should know better. I should know better.
Maybe it's Sadie. No.
Sadie! I think it might be Sadie Glow.
I don't know.
Let me know what it is. Three options. It's either
I don't think it's
either Fade. Sadie or Sade? And she's like, no, it's none of that, actually.
Something, that's not how you pronounce my name. That's
not how you say it whatsoever, you dumb bitch. Get it together. Sorry. Nobody says that, right? Who are we covering today, Brandy?
We're covering Rudy Kerniawan.
Rudy Kerniawan?
Kerniawan.
Kerniawan.
Kerniawan. So, okay. I got really interested into this in this guy because I was like, what the hell? Like, what? I've never heard of faking wine. Like, what? Actually, no, that's not true. I have, but not in, to the extent that what's going on here. Okay. It's, like, bonkers. So, and it's, like, it's crazy bonkers. Like, you're just like, what? So,
it's crazy bonkers.
It is. It's so weird. Like, okay, so this guy, his name, Rudy Kerniawan, his actual, his name, he was born, Zin Wang Wang, which is his name.
Zin Wang Wang.
Which is, that's his Chinese name. But his father named him Kerniawan, Rudy Kerniawan, after Indonesian badminton player. Because in Indonesia, around the time that he was born or when he was a kid or whatever, there was like, basically like people of Chinese descent mm-hmm. were like getting killed and shit. There were like, their lives were in danger in Indonesia. So he changed it
to keep his kids safe?
Yeah. That's to, cool. You know, he changed his name and his other son's name, which was, I'm going to say it was Zan or something. I forgot what it was. But anyway, so he, they come, him and his mom, his brothers, the family comes to the States in 1998 so he can go to, 1998? What year was it? Yeah, around 1998. So he could go to college. He arrived on a student visa.
Okay.
He went to Cal State Northridge.
Oh.
And, like, suddenly he just pops up on the fucking, like, winery scene, like, wine auction scene. Like, he goes and, he basically goes to wine auctions and he buys wines, but he's not buying, like, the super expensive wines. He's buying, like, the $100 bottles of wine, $200 mm-hmm. bottles of wine, but that are, you know, that are still nice wines. And so he,
You've got quite the impressive cellar here.
Yeah. Basically, like, there's these dudes, there's this group that he gets in with. They're called the Angry Men. Angry Dudes? What is it?
We're the Angry Dudes.
Yeah. The Angry Men, yeah. It's like a bunch of dudes. There's like 16 of them, right? They meet 8 times a year, and they drink this expensive-ass fucking wine. So he befriends one of them, or actually, I think he introduces him to this guy named Hollywood Jeff. He's a fucking director in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And this guy, he is doing his whole interview. He's got these fucking sunglasses on inside his house.
So what interview are you watching? Like, what are you watching?
I'm watching, I was watching Bitter Grapes, or Sour Grapes.
Sour Grapes.
Sour Grapes, yeah. So I got my info from Sour Grapes and, of course, Wikipedia. And this guy, okay, just like, you look at him and you're like, that guy's a douche. Like, he's got his dark sunglasses on. He's inside
Hollywood Jeff.
He's got on this black jacket and he's got this like shoulder length gray hair, but he looks like an ass, like a stuffy dick. You know what I mean? Like, like he's trying to be too cool for school, but it's, he's failing and he just looks like a dick.
A stuffy dick.
A stuffy dick.
Like, I think we should make like some stuffed animal dick.
So there's, okay, the first time you see him, he's in a car with this other fucking dude. This fucking like, I want to say he's a day trader. He's not a day trader, but he's like a consultant, like a fucking like Wall Street type mm-hmm. named David Fredston, and they're talking about, oh, we missed the tequila tasting last night because we were drinking this bottle of 1907 Madeira, and you know, just like so ridiculous. Like a 1907 bottle of fucking wine is going to cost probably about $500,000.
Jesus.
Right. So that's the type of people these are. Okay. They fucking drink this expensive ass fucking old ass fucking wine. Mm-hmm. And they think they're like wine connoisseurs. They're wine snobs. They're wine connoisseurs. But then you discover they're really stupid and don't know what the fuck they're talking about.
Well, check it out. Okay, first of all, so we're talking about wine, guys. If I'm drinking some fucking wine, I don't know. I'm just like, this is good. So obviously they're in a circle with each other and they're like jerking each other off. I'm like, oh, isn't this wine delicious? Ooh, it tastes like feet. I fucking love it. It smells like my mother's armpit. It must be good.
Yeah, well, they don't have that weird, like, Connecticut highbrow accent, but...
Okay. Was that Connecticut?
I don't know. It's Muffy. That's like Thurston Howell the Third type shit.
Muffy. Go get me the Lafitte. The Lafitte Latour.
Okay. But, so, and at one point, David Fredston's like, he says, God, what did he fucking say? Something so stupid. Oh, he was like, 96 champagne. He was like, '96 champagne is the best. If you can't drink 96, drink 02. And if you can't drink 02, or if you can't afford that, drink fucking beer. And I'm just like, you're a fucking twat.
Don't they call Budweiser the champagne of beers?
That's Stella Artois.
Oh, the champagne of beers. Mm-hmm. So what year is this going on, if you know? Like, what?
This, the whole, like, what the David Curry and shit happened between, like, 2002 to 2012.
Okay.
He, 2012 was when he was indicted. Okay, so, anyway, the Angry Men, they're called the Angry Men because he was like, we go to these wine parties and then, like, one person would bring a really good bottle of wine and everyone else would bring a shit wine, and so then we'd be angry, and we didn't want to be angry anymore, so we got together, and we started everybody, like, they go to one person's house, mm-hmm. who provides the wine from their cellar, mm-hmm. and they drink all these wines.
Okay.
So, that's their show. So, a lot of these guys got their wines from fucking, Rudy Kurian.
Got it.
Or Kuriawan. So, anyway.
Let's just call him Rudy K.
Rudy K. Just Rudy. There's this chick, her name is Maureen Downey, and she's a wine consultant / wine specialist, right? And so he contacts her, Rudy contacts her, and he's like, hey, I want to become a player in, the auction scene. Mm-hmm. And so, like, she's the one who's like, you know, he had been buying these inexpensive wines. She's like, they're still good wines, but he hadn't been buying the old vintages. The high ticket ones. He was buying the lower ones. So,
right.
But they were like describing how like he had this palate, like he could guess where a wine was fucking, where it was from, what year it was.
That's like sommelier stuff, right?
Sommelier. But yes, but like apparently like this kid was like a fucking wunderkind. Like he could probably like 97% of the time be spot on about that wine.
So he had a really developed palate
and yeah,
nose.
And yeah, and they're like, you know, the only way that happens is from tasting wines.
Yeah.
So he had to have tasted thousands and thousands of wines.
Guys, we are currently having some wine for this episode, and it is a 2017 Pinot Noir from my collection that I got on my birthday.
What is it, Shaw?
It's Shaw.
With a twist-off fucking cork.
With a twist-off motherfucking cork.
That's awesome.
Because we're fancy.
Mm-hmm.
In solo cups.
Yeah. Red solo cup.
I'll drink
you up. Let's have a party.
I think we sang two different verses, but
whatever. Who cares? Okay, so. He had this great fucking palette, right?
Yeah.
And he manages to make friends with all these fucking rich people. The guy that produced, I think it was Transformers, like, was one of his best friends. He was just fucking, like, schmoozing all these people. He would, you know, invite them to dinners, and he would always share his wines. They were like, he was super generous with wine. You know, he, like, there's a video of him, like, hey, guys, I've got this box of fucking wines.
What's
like,
up?
Let's, you know.
Let's party.
Yeah, you know, and he seemed like a really nice dude, right? Mm-hmm. So, he starts bidding on all these wines. All of these, like, hard-to-find wines. That's why they're being auctioned.
Gotta play the part.
And he starts driving up the prices of these wines.
So he's bidding on them. They're very hard to come by. So he's
and they're already expensive, but because he's outbidding everybody, so the prices of these wines are going up.
Okay.
And up and up and up and up and up and up.
Okay.
So the people, like wine collectors, what they do is they collect all these wines in their cellars and they drink some and then they put some back on the market in the auctions and they make money on it.
Right.
So that's basically, you know, that's how you make money on your fucking, it's like an investment. You fucking, you buy the wine and then you hold on to it.
You hold on to
it. And then you put it up for auction. But you put it up in a collection. So it's not just one bottle. It's a collection of wines.
So maybe it's like, oh, you know, this vineyard had a great year and it put out a nice petit Syrah this year.
Oh, the way they talk is like crazy. They're like, this wine is reminiscent of a sexy brothel.
Of whore.
Like a sexy brothel.
Free of scabies.
Mom. Or brothel, whatever you call those women. Brothel madam. Yeah. You know, with long legs and blah, blah. Like, they you know, trying to make it sound really, super like, sexy. Interesting and sexy so that people want to buy it. That's how the fucking auction
I would think, what is that stuff that they give out? Gonorrhea?
They give it out. They give out gonorrhea.
Brothels. You know what I'm saying?
The gonorrhea house. Let's go to the gonorrhea house.
Yeah. Madam gonorrhea.
So... Yeah, but that's how they would be like, that's how one person describes it, like, you know, and they, you know, they would like be sending these emails around talking about these wines.
So it's a club.
Basically she said what the kind of money that these people have that go to these auctions and buy these wines they have fuck you money.
Oh.
So yeah, basically like I made $3 million last month. I'm going to blow $1 million of it on wine.
A third of your fucking money on wine?
It was last month. I made the money last month. Like, oh, that was just
last month.
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me.
Yeah.
My royalties came in. Fuck you.
Look, buy my book so I can get some royalties and get some fucking money.
Guys, have you guys... I'm sorry. Let's segue this.
Are you putting a commercial out right now?
I'm not putting a commercial out, but check out Brandy's books. I have her links on the website. There's like two novellas.
I need to write some books.
There's two novellas and a novel.
Oh, I need to write some books.
And there's quick, easy reads. It's, what is it called?
Which one?
The Smuggled Love.
Smuggled Love.
What's that series called, though?
I don't even know. I can't remember. I can't even remember.
They're on the they're on our website. So if you have a chance, visit W.
Like, she doesn't know what her book is called.
That's how fucking cool she is. She doesn't need to know what it's called. Shit. www.bookoflies.com and Brandy's links to her novellas are on there.
Is it bookoflies.podcast.com?
Oh my god.
Yeah.
This must be a really good wine.
Okay.
I'll tell you guys later what it's called.
So anyway. So yeah, he was started buying the wine and he was started to resell the wines at the escalated price. Mm-hmm. And so at these auctions, there was one person that was bidding like crazy against him. Like they would just, you know, have bidding wars. And it was the fucking representative for Bill Koch. Bill Koch is one of the Koch brothers.
Okay.
These people make fucking presidents. Like these people are in an inner circle of super fucking billionaire, wealthy fucking white men mm-hmm. that get together mm-hmm. during fucking election season and decide who's going to be the next fucking president.
Are you kidding me?
No. That's how they do. That's how they do. They're Republicans. They're GOP people. So basically, it's their candidate. But they don't decide like, oh, well, this Democratic person or this Republican person is going to be president. But basically, that's what they do.
They pretty much decide who's going to be in the running.
Who's going to,
who they're going to fund.
Yes, mm-hmm. exactly. Okay. Who they're going to fund. He funded, he fucking donated to Mitt Romney's campaign.
Good luck with that.
He donated $2 million to Mitt Romney's campaign in 2004.
Mm. Well,
I'm just saying that's the type of money this guy has. He's a fucking billionaire. No. He doesn't have fuck you money. He has fuck everybody money.
Oh shit.
Okay. He's a philanthropist. He's, you know, he's one of those people that he can hire a person to fucking do whatever he wants. If he wants you gone, you're gone.
Do dirt, people.
Like, yes. So he is a collector of wine. He collects a lot of stuff, but he's a collector of wine.
Mm-hmm.
Or he was. He stopped collecting wine after this.
I bet you did stop collecting wine. You know what? I heard about this. I listened to a podcast, Stuff You Should Know, and it was about the wine thing.
Yeah?
Yes, because then when you told me you were doing this, I was like, oh, fun, and I listened to, like, this episode, like, months ago, but in the, you're right, continue.
Yeah. So, you know, he basically, he was like, okay, you know, and he showed his collection. This guy has fucking wine from Thomas Jefferson's cellar from 1782 or whatever the hell. Thomas Jefferson. Okay? So, yeah. The guy has money up the fucking ass. He paid 25 fucking grand for a 1921 Magnum Petrus bottle of wine. There was no fucking Magnum made by Petrus in 1921. So he was like, what? Oh, hell no. So he has a fucking investigator that works for him because he can afford one.
Yeah.
And he was like, I want to know how fucking deep this goes in my fucking cellar.
Oh, because he's like, oh, I've got this wine. And someone's like, buddy, no one made that year.
His investigator. He was like, that didn't exist.
Oh, gosh. So this is how the
shoe fell? This is how stuff started, like, gears started turning in heads.
Okay.
So Bill Koch's like, what?
What?
He's like, huh? He's like, okay, get on this. Find out all the fake bottles in my fucking cellar.
Oh, fuck.
This guy's name is Brad Goldstein, and he's got this dog. I think it's a border collie. He's so cute. Anyway,
Got a cat.
Yeah, he's so cute. His dog won't leave him alone during the interview. He's like, sorry, guys. It's funny.
My dog.
And he's like, yeah, go find mommy. Go find mommy. I don't have any food for you. So he tells him, you know, he tells him about it and he gets on it, you know. He's like, okay, let's fucking do this shit, right? Meanwhile, in fucking Burgundy, France, Burgundy wine is made, mm-hmm. the fucking Clos du, what is it called?
Clos.
That's Clos. I don't speak French, so I don't know. But anyway, the guy that owns it, his name is Laurent Ponson.
Mm-hmm. Ponson.
He is like, you know, and he takes great pride in his fucking product. Like, you know, this is my wine. Fucking, like, and, you know, his vineyard is gorgeous. The winemaking process, they take fucking painstaking care to produce these bottles of fucking Burgundy. Mm-hmm. Oh, first, Bill Koch goes to the auction houses and he's like, hey, I bought this bottle of wine. It's a fake.
Ooh.
I bought this bottle of wine from you. It's a fake. And they're like, oh, too bad. So sad. Not our problem.
Oh.
Like, you bought this wine. It was as is. Tough luck.
Tough titty, said the kitty.
Right. And so that's when Bill Koch's like, oh, fuck no. Like, you're not even, like, okay. And he says, he's like, I don't like being cheated. Like, don't fucking fuck me, dude. And so he starts the process to figure out where these bottles came from, who sold these bottles to whom, and all that stuff.
Ay, ay, ay.
Yeah. And he said he has more than 400 bottles worth $4 million in his cellar that are fake.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So, imagine, like, you lost $4 million on some fucking fake shit, and you want to know what the fuck, why, who did it, where did it come from,
okay.
You know, so.
You want to get your money, pretty much.
And the first name that comes to his mind, like, that he tells, Brad, his investigator, he's like, find out everything you can about this Rudy Curiamon. He's never met him, but he's the guy that's been outbidding him and shit at these fucking auction houses. So
he had a hair up his ass.
He's like, he's either got some fake wine too, and either, you know, so like, we need to find out.
Know something.
Right.
Okay.
So, and then, okay, so meanwhile, Laurent Poisson, the fucking guy.
Monsieur Poisson.
He gets a catalog, an auction house catalog. Because, like, the auction houses, they send out these catalogs to their buyers. Mm-hmm. And they're like, you have 2 weeks to decide what you want. Come in, bid on it, blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah. Mm-hmm. He gets a catalog. And there's, like, a bunch of bottles in there with his fucking labels, with his fucking name, that never existed.
Oh my god, that's disgusting.
The dates are wrong. The fucking, the vintages are wrong.
I'm frustrated for him.
And he's like, you know.
And this is getting sold like in LA?
It's all over. It's L.A., New York, basically in L.A. and New York.
Okay.
That's where the major auction houses are.
Okay.
And he's like, what the fuck? Like, so, yeah, there's fucking this clothes on... my fucking handwriting is all fucked up right here. Unless it's Sando. I can't pronounce it. I don't know what it says. But there's a 1945, a 1949, a 1966, and a 1971 vintage on there. Uh-huh. And they didn't start making this wine until 1984. So you're basically telling me that I'm buying a wine that's 40 years old that never existed. And the idiots, the freaking... Okay, so... Let me backtrack a little bit. Rudy Hurriwan basically partnered with this wine store that was a small auction. They, like, would hold small auctions. That, he put his... Like, he put a,
collection. What do you call
it? Yeah, he put a collection up for auction. Mm-hmm. And that year... They sold $1 million at this auction, which has never happened before. Or it was either $1 million or $100 million. I want to say it was $100 million. And it never had happened before at any house. So automatically they become the fucking biggest fucking auction house now.
Okay.
Because they've sold more wine
at
this auction than anybody. So he sees this fucking auction house. It's this Acker, Merrill, and Condit. This guy's name is John. John Capen. He's the owner, the CEO of this little auction, this wine store slash auction house.
I'm so sorry. That sold about $100 million worth of wine. Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, okay. Acker, Merrill, and Condit is the auction house that this guy, John Capen, is involved in. So he sells this fucking wine, right? And it was... Yeah, one was like $30 million. Basically, yeah, he sold the most wine or the highest ticketed. You know, they basically made more money that year than any other fucking auction house had ever done in history.
Okay.
So they became automatically the biggest fucking auction house. Well, he had written the owner, fucking John Capen, had written a review about these wines, these fake ass wines from the Clos de la Roche. That's it.
Clos de Roche.
De la Roche Winery, the Burgundy. Mm-hmm. And that didn't exist. And so he's like, how could he do that? Because he's getting 20% of the fucking sale. That's how he could write a review about these fake ass wines. And
because,
you know,
if you're any fucking wine person, you know these wines aren't real, right?
Here's the... Okay, we'll get to that. Because, yes, if you're a wine enthusiast, mm-hmm. as the way these guys claim that they are, mm-hmm. you would know this. You would know that these vintages never existed. And the thing about it is, because they're so rare, these people want these wines. It's from 1927. Like,
you tricked yourself.
You can't buy this in this store. Like, you can't. They don't exist anymore. Like, if they made these wines,
yeah.
they're all drunk up. Right. So if I can find a bottle of it, I want it.
I want it to be real.
And I want it to be real.
Yeah.
So, Lauren Poisson's like, fuck this shit. He goes to the fucking auction where these fucking fake ass wines are being sold, right?
His fake ass fucking wine is
right.
being sold. Fuck that.
And so he goes to the auction and everybody, and like, apparently it's like this big fucking raucous ass fucking auction. Like, these people are acting like animals up in there because they're sitting at tables and they're drinking wine.
Oh, gosh.
And they're freaking acting like fucking monkeys. And he's like, John Capen at the one point is like, hey, everybody, shut the fuck up. This isn't Sotheby's. Like, shut up. And so he starts to auction off these wines, right? Lauren Poisson stands up and he's like, withdraw my wines. And at that point, everybody's like, record stop. What the fuck just happened?
Mm-hmm.
And so John Capen has no choice but to be like, we're withdrawing all the Clos de la Roche wines. Like, mm-hmm. okay.
Oh, shit.
Then he's like, he goes to him after the auction. He's like, I need you to tell me where these came from. Who fucking put these up for auction?
Mm-hmm.
He introduces him, like, to Rudy Hurriwan the next day.
Yeah.
Hurriwan and him, he asks him, he's like, so I need you to tell me where you got these wines. And He's like, oh, you know, I buy so much wine, I don't remember, I can't remember everywhere, you know, that I got the wines from, blah, 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 blah. And so Lauren's like, okay, this guy, he, you know, he's into schmoozing, he likes to be fucking friends with all of his fucking clients, mm-hmm. and, you know, so I'm gonna basically become his friend, I'm gonna befriend him, and, you know, and maybe he'll talk.
Right.
So, you know, they're, you know, going to dinners, whatnot, blah, 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 and he leaves. And so he sends an email to him. He's like, hey, I'm back in Burgundy, but I need you to, you know, can you tell me where you got those wines? He's like, okay, I'll figure it out, and I'll let you know. So, like, a week later, he sends him an email with a name and basically saying that I got it from this guy in Asia, blah, blah, blah. He gives him a phone number. He gives him two phone numbers. So Lauren calls the numbers, and he's like, the first number is a fax machine, and the second number is a number that's not answered.
The sex number.
He gives him a sex number, and
then he calls and talks for like 30 minutes.
And racks up a bill of $500.
Yay.
So he couldn't, basically he gave him the fucking runaround.
Yeah.
And so Lauren's doing his own fucking investigation, right?
Of course.
Well, fucking Brad Goldstein is also doing his investigation.
For the Koch family.
Yeah. He finds out that fucking Rudy has a warrant out for his arrest for overstaying his fucking visa. So he can't leave the country because if he leaves, he can't come back. So basically, there's a fucking a warrant for his arrest to be deported.
Okay.
But he knows that his visa's up, so if he leaves, he can't come back. So he hasn't been, like, to France. He hasn't been to Italy. He hasn't been to any wineries to buy any wines, like, you know, like that. So they're like, okay, let's find out, because the name on his visa is the name of a company. The sponsors of his visa is the name of a company that his family owns in Singapore.
Okay.
So they get the address and they go there and they're like, okay, it's like a block of fucking like just buildings that are like little markets. One's like a warehouse, you know, just little markets and shit. And so, they're like, okay. They couldn't find anything at that point. This guy, this FBI guy, Jim Nguyen, gets involved. And he, like, does a background check. And he's like, okay. Because apparently everybody thinks that his family, like, he's got this wealthy family. Mm-hmm. That, because Rudy, he doesn't talk about his family. Mm-hmm. Like, and, like, when people ask, he says, I don't talk about my family. Apparently they think that he's, like, an heir to the Heineken distribution network in Asia. Like, his family is in charge of, you know,
crazy rich Asians.
They're the Heineken distribution in fucking Asia, for all of Asia.
Okay.
And, you know, they've got all this money.
That's the champagne of bears.
What are you talking about?
Nothing.
It's Stella Artois.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Actually, I think it was Heineken, but Stella Artois is supposed to be the champagne of beers now, too, so I don't know, whichever one of them, they're having a fight. But it's Heineken. Yeah. So, he's like, the producer guy is like, what I gather, because he's met his family, like his mom and his brother. He has a brother that's in Indonesia, and he has a brother that's in Hong Kong. Mm-hmm. And the brother from Indonesia comes, you know, so they spend like a weekend together or whatever. And the producer guy's like, yeah, from what I gathered when I was with them was that he was receiving an allowance of $1 million a month for wine from his brother in Indonesia, who was running their distributorship, I don't know, whatever. And so, you know, like, he's a trust fund kid. Like, he gets all this money from his parents. Like, because he doesn't work. The fucking dude doesn't have a job.
That's because he sells wine.
And so,
like, guess what? If you went to freaking UC North, like, a CSU Northridge,
uh-huh.
You're no trust fund, baby.
So, right? So,
Trying to hate on CSU Northridge.
I
went to a CSU. We both did. They're great schools, but just saying.
I don't think that he told them where he went to school. But anyway, So yeah, they, you know, people are of under this assumption that he's got all the, oh god, I have hiccups. Wonderful.
It's the wine. I feel like this wine's warming up my freaking body.
Alcohol does make you hot. So yeah, they think he's got all this money. His family's rich, blah, blah, blah. Well, fucking Jim Wynn, the FBI guy, is like, he doesn't have any fucking trust fund. This guy's not a fucking trust fund baby. He's not getting any fucking money from his brother, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm. Tim Wynn.
But who is funding this fucking guy?
Right.
His name is Jim Wynn.
Jim Wynn.
So, John Capen, after, like, they, it comes to light, in 2009, because, like, Bill Koch is like, you owe me fucking money. So he sued him.
The funny fucking thing is, like you said, Bill Koch has fuck everybody money.
Yeah.
And he can seriously, like, disappear you if he wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, you know what? I want my money back.
Yeah.
Give me my money.
Yeah.
And he's just like, it's just the fucking principality of it.
Yeah, it's the whole principle of this
thing. Don't you fucking cheat me. I thought I had some good shit in my fucking winery collection, my cellar. Mm-hmm. I've got $4 million
worth. And there's $400 of fake fucking, I mean, 400 bottles.
400 bottles, $4 million worth of fake shit.
Mm-hmm.
Where's my fucking money?
Right.
Get him, Bill.
So, yeah, Bill Koch is like, you owe me money. I'm suing you.
I won. Give me my money.
I sue you.
I sue you. So, I dump your ass.
Exactly. I sue your ass. So he sued him in 2009. So there's a thing going on because now everybody knows, like, Bill Koch brought this to light.
Yeah.
That there's all these fake shits and it's coming from this fucker. So people are like,
Do you know if this guy was the only guy that was putting out fake wine, or do you think there was other people putting out fake wine?
We'll talk about it.
Okay, sorry.
So basically, yeah, Bill Koch is like, 2009 he sues him, and he's like, you owe me money, blah, blah, blah. So the auction houses are like, you know, they're not dealing with him anymore. Mm-hmm. Fucking John Capen cuts ties with him. He's like, you're not the guy that he made fucking, like, put on the map, basically, as an auction.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, we're done.
I bet you're fucking done with him after you used him to, you know, whatever.
After you didn't do your due diligence.
Okay.
Because that's what it is. These people did not do their due diligence on these wines. But, okay, when you're at an auction, they tell you the year of these,
and they send you a catalog, right? Like you said, they send you a catalog. Google that shit.
Right. Or you can even call the wineries. Like, you don't have to be stupid. But,
don't be stupid. That's so interesting.
So, he sues him, and meanwhile, the auction houses are like, fuck this, I'm not doing this no more. But fucking the next year in 2009, actually in 2009 is when he got, so in 2008, this stuff started coming out. 2009, fucking the Christie's auction, which is a fucking major fucking auction house, puts up fucking wine from him. And they don't even, like, hide the fact that it's from him. He doesn't change his fucking name. And basically, they sold, like, $10 million worth of fucking fake wine.
You're stupid.
And so, you know, basically, they're like, that put a fucking black mark on the wine auction houses. Like, you know, it gives them a bad name because they fucking sold all this fucking fake-ass wine. So, then, in fucking 2012, fucking Spectrum Vanquish, which is another auction, they get bottles from him, from fucking, but they use a different name. And they, by now, everybody who has bought his wine and, like, who has socialized with him knows what these bottles look like. So there's characteristics of the bottles that they're like, those are from him.
Oh.
So they have, like, this pink wax, and they have certain, certain, just the bottle characteristics.
The shape of the bottle.
The the labels. Yeah, like the labels and things like that. They're like, those are from him. Mm-hmm. And they're probably fake. Mm-hmm. And so this one guy, what's his name? Don Cornwell, he contacts them. He's like, hey, you guys are putting up these fucking wines for auction. They're probably fake. They're from fucking Rudy Kuriwan, who has already been shown to be giving out, you know, to be putting up fake wines for auction.
Yeah.
They don't pull the fucking wines.
They just want to make some fucking money.
They're like, no, blah. So he puts out, there's this website called Wine Berserkers, which is like a forum mm-hmm. for wine enthusiasts mm-hmm. and wine snobs. And he puts out this thing, this warning, like, hey, this auction house is putting up all these bottles, and beware.
Hey.
And so it went fucking viral.
Of course.
And they were forced to remove those wines.
They should have fucking did it when he put them up on game and was like, hey, it's very clear that you've gotten these bottles from Rudy K.
Mm-hmm.
He's a fucking fraud and he's selling fake fucking wine.
Mm-hmm.
Get your shit together.
Right. So in this catalog, right, there's a misprint on a bottle of wine. It's an address of a wine dealer, a wine house, whatever you call it, the winery, wine house, wine dealer, wine store, whatever.
Winery.
There's a misprint of the address. So instead of Ville, V-I-L-L-E, it's V-I-L-E-E, Ville, that they put on this bottle. The FBI catches wind of this and they're like, okay, let's go. And they, so they start talking to his friends because they had, you know, before, because he was deposed back, you know, back in 2009 when he got sued by Bill Koch.
But did he get deported?
No. What are you talking about?
Because his visa was up.
His visa was up, yes. But they weren't, like, he had a warrant for his arrest. So if he ever got in trouble, he could be deported. But they weren't actively looking for him to deport him.
That's the bullshit. I'm sorry. Like, if there's a warrant for your arrest.
It's the Department of Justice. It's
come
like,
for me.
The DOJ isn't, they're not actually looking for people.
Ugh.
Unless you're a terrorist.
So if you do something wrong, then they're like, okay, you have a warrant. We're coming for you.
You get in trouble and they're, yeah. Like if, like, say, well, it's different for people from Mexico, obviously, but. Like, if you get a traffic ticket,
yeah.
and they run your shit, yeah. and then they find out that there's a fucking warrant
right.
for you to be deported, they can deport you at that point.
They actually put you in the fucking, that bullshit-ass jail.
What are you talking about? Guantanamo Bay? What are you talking about?
They, like, that holding, like, the holding shit that they got those poor kids in right now?
Yeah.
My coworker, he is Swiss. He's not my coworker anymore, but he is Swiss, and he lives out here in the U.S., but when he was, like, 17, his visa expired.
It was a student visa?
It was something, I'm not sure, and he was in the process of getting it renewed or whatever. They put him in a detention. They put him in detention cell, and he was in jail, like, in the immigration jail thing. We're grown-ass fucking people, and he was like, that shit's not cool, like, at all.
No.
So, they take white people, too. So,
No, I'm just saying it's different for like, that guy... That guy that got deported like two times, that Mexican guy, and then he came back and fucking killed somebody in San Francisco.
Yeah.
That, you know, they go immediately. They're like, get out of here. They send them to Mexico. Except for that, you know, this whole bullshit ass situation. But anyway, let's not go there right now.
Okay, sorry.
So they start talking to his friends, and this fucking Hollywood Jeff douchebag with the fucking sunglasses on is just like, no. Rudy, not Rudy, he could never, like, how, what?
Rudy?
No, I could never, he could never do a thing like this.
Not Rudy.
First of all, he doesn't have the capacity.
No.
He's got ADD. I'm like.
He's got ADD?
That's what he's like. He's ADD, he has a short attention span. I'm like, if you want money, you're gonna do shit. Like.
Guess what? I'm sure I have ADHD, and who cares? Like.
It's just so dumb.
We get shit done.
So the FBI is like, okay, we're gonna fucking go get him.
Not Rudy.
No, not Rudy, no. So March 2012, they fucking go to his house and they knock on his door. They knock on his door and they're like, FBI, open up. FBI, open up. Oh, but first, fucking Jeff calls him and he's like, hey man, the FBI's on to you. Like, they want you. They think you've done this shit. They're like, they want it. They're gonna come.
Can I be Hollywood Jeff? Can I be Hollywood Jeff? Rudy. It's Jeff.
God.
So So the FBI, they're coming for you, man. They think you've done some really shady shit. I told them not you, but I did give them your address, and they are on the
way.
They
already have the address.
So,
I gave them your address.
They're coming. I hope you didn't do that shit, because I bought a lot of wine from you. Bye. Well, kiss, kiss.
Yeah, so they go to his house. FBI, open up. FBI. FBI. FBI.
Kick
and
it
the
down.
Guy's like,
kick it down.
Go get the fucking ram, right?
Kick it down.
Here comes fucking Rudy, opens his door all bleary-eyed in his fucking pajamas. Hey, guys, what's going on?
After they kicked down the fucking door?
No, they didn't kick the door. He opened it. Oh, he came out. He fucking just woke up. He wasn't worried. Like, he was in fucking La La Land.
Literally.
So, this literally. Fucking guy... Dude! Okay, so they... you should see the pictures. The pictures. House full of wine and wine bottles from fucking Napa Valley.
Okay.
Napa Valley wines.
Yeah.
From like 2002.
That's what he's freaking marking.
From like 2007. Mm-hmm. All these newer... There, he had some older Burgundies. Mm-hmm. But he had a bunch of fucking California wines.
Yeah. We put out good wine, y'all.
What he was... We do. Yes. But the problem is... Our wines aren't from 1974 or 1776. Well, yeah, they are, because fucking Thomas Jefferson had some wine. That bottle, though, it was such a pretty bottle. Like, because, you know, old school, they didn't make the wine bottles the shape that they are now. It was like a rum bottle from
Where's
Pirates
the
of the Caribbean.
Where's all the rum gone?
Yeah. So, but it was like black glass. It was really pretty. Anyway.
Can I get the wine bottle, by the way?
I'm trying to tell a story here.
You know what? Let's take a break.
Newport Beach. The pool house. Captain Oats. Chino? Ew! I'm Michelle.
I'm Liz.
And I'm Ingrid. And we're...
Let's Talk OC!
We're the ladies that brought you Tree Hill Talk, and now we are on the West Coast talking about the early 2000s teen drama, The OC.
Join us every Monday as we watch and review each episode.
We hope you can join us!
And we are back. You want some more wine?
I'll take some Red Solo Cup wine.
Why is all the wine gone?
From Shaw. What does that say?
Okay, guys. So, we are currently... Hang on.
Twist that damn cork back.
We're currently drinking a Shaw. Charles Shaw. 2017 California Pinot Noir made with organic grapes. Certified CCOF Organic.
Organic. It's got organs in it.
Oh my gosh, they're from Ceres. They're from Ceres, California. That's where my roommate from college is from.
I'm like, I don't know what that means.
Yeah, Ceres. Hang on, here.
I don't care.
Yeah. There you go.
Okay. So anyway, so they get in the house. There's wine everywhere. There's empty bottles everywhere. In the sink, there's three bottles with the labels soaking off. There's three bottles sitting next to the sink that are ready to be labeled. There's fucking bottles that have freaking formulas for wine creations. Mm-hmm. He's pouring, basically he's making fucking counterfeit fucking wine. He's concocting all these wines, he's blending, he's tasting. He's like, this is not what this, you know, like the wine... I tasted this wine at this one point, and it tasted like this. I'm trying to make this wine again. Mm-hmm. You know, he was just, he had a cork, an uncorking device, and then he had a recorking device.
I've
he had a gigantic fucking printer printing off labels.
So he's guilty as fuck. Like, he had all this shit up in your place.
Labels. Stacks and stacks and stacks and stacks and stacks of labels. Mm. He had the old labels from old bottles. And he had labels that he printed. He was using fucking antique paper so that you could basically antique to the fucking paper and make it look as old as it's supposed to look. He had the corks from the old bottles that he had drunk before. He was getting bottles from fucking restaurants. Empty bottles, empty wine bottles.
He's a sad sack of shit. That's what that guy is.
He was having the fucking wine bottles delivered to his house.
He should be ashamed.
This guy was doing the most, right? So, he gets arrested and they hold him without bail because they think he's a flight risk. And his attorney, these two fucking attorneys are dumb fucks. This one guy, the one attorney's like,
Well, I think he was just reconditioning the bottles to make them look good.
Fuck off.
Go fuck yourself. Like, fuck really? Off.
You know what? The lawyers are just there to paint a fucking different story.
Yeah.
Your abogado.
Forget how fucking fake the story is.
Donde esta mi abogado? And it's just like, seriously? What?
Oh, no. This other guy was like, look, even if he was doing the stuff on the level that he was doing, it's just wine. It's not wine. This is a financial crime. It's money involved.
Yeah, a lot of money.
And that's why Jim Wynn got involved, because he's like my specialty is financial fraud, my financial crimes. He gets involved in financial crime shit, and that's what this was, basically for what sure. It amounted to.
For sure.
And not to mention duping a bunch of fucking rich idiots who fucking didn't fucking do their due diligence. But whatever.
Due diligence, y'all.
So yeah, and then like. He's like, well, you know, I think what happened was somebody, you know, people come to him and be like, you know, I had this wine one time and it was this the best wine I ever had. So he was just trying to recreate that experience for them.
You know, at the end of the day, your lawyer looks really stupid lying for you the way they're lying for you.
I bet you, like, everybody in the room was like,
this is bullshit. Yeah.
And so the prosecutor... the federal prosecutor was like, if you believe that he was reconditioning wines, then you probably believe that a man in a red fucking suit with a white beard is going to come down your fucking chimney and deliver to you a bottle of 1947, whatever wine it was that he said.
It's just what I wanted for Christmas.
Oh my God. I was just like, he's hilarious.
You think you're a fucking idiot.
But yeah, like, don't fucking try to pull that shit, dude. You're smarter than that. And you're a fucking attorney.
But the funny thing is, the attorney's like, yeah, I know it's garbage. I'm trying to convince these 12 fucking jurors sitting over here. Or is it 13?
It's already happened.
Is it 13 jurors?
It's 12. But it's already happened. Like, I know but, it's already and he's, happened. But he's still telling that story. Like, well, you know, I think this is what... No. Okay. Anyway. So...
He didn't mean to rob her, Brandy.
Oh, God.
He was trying to take the purse from her and alleviate the pressure from the perk.
So, Rudy gets convicted, and he gets 10 years in jail. He has to pay back people their fucking money.
Restitution, right?
And he has to get deported. So, he's going to serve his fucking time, and he can't get out till... This was in 2012. March 2012 is when he got... I don't think he got convicted in March, but it was in 2012.
I will find out for you. Continue.
He was arrested March 8th. So, and I'm pretty sure that it took a little longer than that because he, like, apparently had, like, lost a lot of weight while he was in jail.
I'm sure he did.
And,
They're like, Rudy, what you in here for? Wine fraud?
Well, so he's in a fucking federal prison. He's in Taft.
You fucking kidding me.
He's in Taft.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
He's not eligible to be released until January 2021. So he has to serve at least fucking 90% or 99% of his sentence.
Mm-hmm.
And then he gets deported after that.
So he was convicted on December 18th, 2013.
December 18th.
Mm-hmm. That's when the jury found him guilty. The judge later sentenced him to 10 years imprisonment.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, so basically, like, after all this, right, it shows fucking Hollywood Jeff with his fucking bottles, and he's like, this is a bottle. This is one of Rudy's bottles that he sold us, or sold me, that I bought, mm-hmm. whatever. And you're gonna see that it's real. And so he shares it with his little fucking angry men friends.
Mm-hmm.
That fucking douchebag that, the one that I talked about earlier was named David something. David Fredstein.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the other guys, right? He shows up at this winery or this wine store or whatever it is. Wine bar. It's a wine bar. And then they go to another wine bar.
Mm-hmm.
And he brings his freaking box of wine with him, and he's like, yeah, this is one of Rudy's, and, you know, it's real. Like, 99% of the stuff that he sold us was real. And this guy, he's like, David Fredston's like, here, taste this. This is one of the ones that Levy got from the guy goes, he tastes it. Well, first he smells it, he's like, how long has this been open? The guy's like, oh, 2 hours, Fredston. David Fredston, he's like, oh, 2 hours. He's like... And then he tastes it. He's like, this is garbage. And they're like, you don't think it's real? Like, he's like, no. He's like, I've been drinking this vintage, this bottle. I know it well. He's like, this one has, he said, what did he say? The real stuff basically is reminiscent of a rich BLT with an egg on top. He said, this shit is skunk juice.
Ooh, shit. Skunk juice. Ew.
I thought it was so funny. He was like, and they.
Disgusting.
You should have seen the look on Hollywood Jeff's face, Sonny.
He had egg on his face. He was for like, sure.
And he goes, well, that's disappointing.
Let me go ahead and tuck my fucking tail between my legs and scurry on out of here.
And then there's another guy. He's like, well, how many of these bottles do you have? And he's like, well, I don't know, like six. And they're like, you're stupid. And the guy walks out laughing. It's so funny.
He goes, this is fucking piss. What is this? He's like, I drink the real shit on the reg.
Yeah, he's like, I know this bottle very well. Like, and it's funny because the producer guy, the one that he had said that, you know, he had spent time with him and his, with Rudy and his family, he was like, everybody in this town is full of shit.
Duh.
Except Rudy. Because Rudy, his palate was correct, like, the way his palate was. He's not talking about, like, the fact that he was, like, making fake wines, but the fact that he knew what he was talking about when it came to wine.
He had a talent for wine.
Yes, and so he was able to fake these bottles because these other guys...
He could taste what...
These other guys didn't know shit about wine. Like, yeah. They just were drinking expensive wine because they could.
Because they were angry men.
They were drinking expensive wine because they could. And it showed right then and there when he was like, that's disappointing. You can tell this is real. No, it's not.
You know what this reminds me of? I'm not at all a wine connoisseur.
Connoisseur.
Whatever. I don't do wine. But what I do is the vodka.
What you do? You do?
I do vodka.
Wagon.
And I know if I bought a fucking table and they brought me a bottle, I can tell when that shit's fucking watered down.
Oh, yeah.
I can tell when that shit's not fucking Stoli. Like, bring me my Stoli, bring me my Grey Goose, don't bring me this watered-down bullshit. Because, like, if I've had a couple drinks and
piss water.
And I'm still have my wits about myself, you have watered this down. If it tastes like fucking soda, like, when I mix it up, it should taste like straight vodka. And, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can tell when they brought you watered-down bullshit, and they do that a lot in clubs.
Yeah. They do.
I want to see you take
the especially like with the well stuff.
Oh, I can't drink well vodka. Like my head will freaking
anything
break.
That's a well drink.
I can't do it.
They will water down.
But no, they do it for table service too. They're supposed to open it up.
I was gonna say that bottle shouldn't even be open. But
exactly, they're supposed to open it up right in front of you. They're supposed to remove the label right in front of you. And mostly they do not do that. So, like, when you guys get a fucking table at a club, you're spending a lot of money. Hmm. Make sure they freaking crack that shit open right in front of you.
Well.
I know I've had, like, when I had my birthday in Lancaster. When I turned 30.
Lancaster?
Remember?
Was it in Palmdale?
Oh, it was in Palmdale.
Yeah.
I was living in Lancaster.
Okay.
But do you remember at that place that we went to, and I got a table, and I felt like the drinks were, like, the bottle was watered down. Because I think I got Patron, and I got a bottle of, exactly, Patron, and I had a bottle of Grey Goose, and it was watered down.
Oh.
Because they recycle those bottles. They think they're fucking slick.
Anything to save a buck, and anything to make more money.
It's disgusting.
I don't think that place exists anymore.
No, it doesn't.
DJ Craigie C used to DJ there.
It was called Crave?
Yes.
It was called
Crave. My former coworker used to go there because, like, what was it, like, Friday night was, like, ladies' night every night. If you wore heels, you got in for free before 10.
Of course, ladies.
And then we would get, like, we would go and, like, well, I went with her once, but she would go and just, like, go dance.
Mm-hmm.
And DJ Craigie C was DJing there at the time.
I just know that they think they're fucking slick and... I've paid for bottle service more than enough times, which is ridiculous. I mean, it's a waste of fucking money, but it's a good time.
Okay, so anyway, we get to get back to him. Like, we're almost done with him.
Sorry.
So, okay.
Finally, the air is kicking on.
Brad.
I'm melting in here.
Bill Koch's investigator is still, like, trying to figure, like, is still... Basically, like, at the time, they were like, okay, this guy is a modern-day Great Gatsby. Like, he has reinvented himself.
Rudy?
Rudy. And so they're like, how did he do this? Who funded him in order for him to be even able to buy these bottles? Because his family isn't wealthy. Like, his family was well-to-do in Indonesia, but here they didn't have any money.
Right.
Like, they weren't a wealthy family. Well, they dig into his family. His uncles are bank robbers!
Oh, shit.
His fucking, both of his uncles, one uncle fucking embezzled $565 million from a bank in fucking Indonesia, and it said he misappropriated the funds.
Whatever.
And he fled from Indonesia, he fled to China, and he's still in China, still on the fucking run today.
Your eyes are so big right now.
The other fucking uncle owned a bank in fucking China, or was it Indonesia? This is his mom's brothers. And fucking took, one said $670 million, the other said $780 million. Either way, took all that money, basically took the money from the bank. So nobody, everybody, all the money, like all the bank shut the fuck down.
Dude, I'm like, I'm in shock right now.
And went to Australia. So both of these fuck faces took all this money. They fucking figure out that one of the, that company that the family owned in Indonesia, the one that they went to,
yeah,
was fucking
a front.
They're fucking, they owned that.
Okay.
That's where the money was coming from. To bankroll fucking Rudy's fucking shit.
So they were funneling the money into the business in Indonesia, and then that money is then funding Rudy to sell this wine.
Rudy was doing this the wine making and stuff, because mm-hmm. the Laurent Poinceau guy, mm-hmm. he was like, it takes about an hour to fake a bottle of wine. It takes, he said, so like
to soak the label,
1,560 bottles, which is basically what it amounted to that he had fucking
how many
counterfeited 1,560. About that, he was like, so it took about 1,560 hours for him to do this. He's like, how, he couldn't have done this by himself.
Okay.
His fucking brothers in fucking Indonesia and Hong Kong, he was sending them money. He sent $17 million to them. So they were sending each other. They were doing this together. It was a family affair.
It's a family affair.
So the FBI, like, they believe that these two motherfuckers were helping this guy do this.
So his uncles funded the money, and then he had two brothers that were doing this?
Yeah, and the money that the uncles took has never been recovered. Like, less than 10% of it has been recovered.
Well, if they're both still on the fucking run, why did they...
No, the other one, guy in China, the one that fled to China,
yeah,
he's on the run.
Okay.
The other one was indicted in Australia.
Okay. Are you, like, he owns a bank and he takes out the fucking money?
Took all the money and bounced.
That was people's money.
Yeah, man. And they had an interview with the people. The guy was like, I saved up 38 years of my money and it's gone.
Oh, that makes me sick. That kind of makes me fucking sick.
These are privately owned banks in these countries. Like, Bank of America is not a privately owned bank.
No.
But these are privately owned banks. Like, and there's no FDIC over there.
It's the Wild West.
Exactly, except it's the East. So he pleaded not guilty, and he got 10 years. And they're like, you know, people like this who do things like this are delusional. Like, they don't want to admit the truth. They don't want to accept that this is happening to them, so they don't plead guilty. Even though you did the shit. And so it's basically the first ever case of somebody fucking counterfeiting wine to be prosecuted and be, like, do jail time. And of course the attorneys are like, well, that's just, I've defended people in the mob where there were dead bodies involved and they didn't get this much time.
Shut
it's
the fuck
10
up.
Years so that is the story.
There were dead bodies involved.
Yeah,
and they didn't get 10 years.
Yeah, like, oh, I'm so upset. Fuck that. Anyway, you fucked with Bill Koch.
Okay.
You fucked with Bill Koch. Like, you're not getting away with it. It's not happening.
I want him buried under the prison.
So yeah, that's the story of Rudy Kurniawan, the fucking modern day Great Gatsby.
Damn.
And I was just like, wow. Like, and like the guy was just like, meh, like, you know, just, he wasn't like defensive, like, no, you know, he was just like, whatever. Oh, one of the guys was like, are you independent? Well, independently wealthy that he was like having dinner with. I was like, are you independently wealthy? And then he was like, no, I scam people. Just what he said. But he was like trying to be sarcastic.
He was being sarcastic.
Yeah, but he was like, no, honest. No, I scam people. Oh, and then there's like one, there's a shot of him at an auction and he's like, they're auctioning off a bottle. He's like, oh man, I just opened that bottle last week because he had the same bottle. Yeah. I opened that bottle last week. Now I feel bad. Maybe he's like, can I refill it and put the cork back in? And like, okay, so you're talking about shit that you already do, dude. Mm-hmm. Like like he gave himself away, but at the time it wasn't like, you know, taken seriously because it was in jest. But it's like, yeah, you're fucking shit. And at one end, I'm like, these guys, most of these guys deserve that shit because you're basically putting on fucking airs, drinking expensive ass bottles of wine that you know nothing about. Mm-hmm. You're doing it just to say you did it. Oh, and yeah, that's that's the bottom fucking line. You're not a wine connoisseur to where you know that this fucking vintner didn't make this bottle of wine in this year. You're basically putting on airs because they said now, like, it's changed the game to where people are researching, like, wine collectors.
You should.
Are researching the bottles before they get them. And I'm like,
if I'm spending, like, seriously, like, I don't like to spend more than $10 on a bottle of wine. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's expensive for me. $10 for a bottle of wine. But if you're, you know.
That's why Barefoot Wine. Yes.
Barefoot Bubbly. Mm-hmm. Barefoot Wine. Their freaking Riesling is good.
The affordable wine that has won awards.
Okay, because guess what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to get a buzz. Okay?
Yeah.
But if you're spending, like, thousands of dollars on wine, do your fucking investigating. Like, make sure it's some real shit when they send you that catalog. Investigate
it. All you gotta do is Google, yeah.
Google it.
Or you can call the vineyards. You can call them and say, hey, there's this bottle for sale or up for auction. I want to know, did you make this?
Yeah.
That's all you gotta do. They know what they've made.
I was watching something on YouTube, and it was like this guy who investigates fraudsters. Like, that's what he does. And he was like, this one dude would be like, when they're like, oh, well, you know, what's your, because you have to do like trading and whatever. You have to be, you have to have some type of number. It's called like I don't know what it is. You guys know what it is, but.
Wait, what are you talking about? You said he investigates fraudsters.
He investigates cons. So, and he was, like, he was talking to these people, and people, when they're, like, doing trading and stuff, like Bernie Madoff, like, stock exchange and stuff like that.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You have to have a trade number or something like that. And, like, he'll say...
Like doctors, they have their own number, like, to write prescriptions.
Exactly. So, then he was, like, always ask for that fucking number. And he was, like, one guy, like, yeah, I've got a number. This is the number, blah, blah, blah. And I suggest you call and verify. And he's, like, 98% of the people do not call. They don't call.
Of course they don't.
And
it's too much work.
It's too much work.
It's too much. But I will admit that I am guilty of this. I'm lazy as fuck. Yeah. I don't want to do it. So I'll be like, eh, whatever. He's not fake. And I'll put my fucking faith in some bullshit and get fucked. Except I don't do that because I don't do anything like
risky. Like,
yeah, I don't. Risky.
Like, she's saying, do your fucking due diligence. If you've got a lot of money on the line. Like, a lot of money to me is $100. Like,
yeah.
That's a lot of money to me. And, like, if I'm going to investigate, I'm going to read the fine print. Mm-hmm. And he was saying something to the effect of, like, people who read the fucking fine print, they're not getting conned. The people who don't read the fine print are getting conned. So he was like, readers don't get conned. And people who don't read get conned. And people who do read don't get conned. It was something I posted. But,
right.
Do your due diligence, man.
I feel like it's easy. Like, this one right here is one of the easiest things to do.
The wine
is to fucking find out if this wine exists.
So, tell me about other people that are doing, because I asked you, like, so there's other people. Oh,
well, apparently they have found other fake wines, like, that are in circulation. Mm-hmm. But they don't know who they're from. Like, basically, a lot of people are attributing all the fake wines to Rudy.
Lucky you, Rudy.
They're like, the lady, the one, the lady that he had called. On the scene. Yeah, she, like, she does that. She finds fake wines, and they showed her in action, and she was like, they were talking about, some wine, and she was like, that fucking wine didn't exist until this year, you know, like, and she says she goes through, and she looks at the, like, she gets the bottles in hand, she looks at the paper, mm-hmm. she looks at the corks, she looks at the wax, she looks at, the aging, like, if the fucking bottle looks aged, if it, like, you know, she said, what did she say, there's, like, you're a 17-year-old's body with a 20-year-old face or something like that, or not, a 50-year-old face or something mm-hmm. like that, or a 50-year-old's body and a 20-year-old's face or something, like
the label versus the bottle.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and, like, making sure, like, the cork, is the right cork? Is it the cork that they used at that time? Is it the wax that they used at that time? And Bill Cope was like, they even found fucking Elmer's glue on one of their bottles.
Oh,
like,
gosh.
Like, they weren't even using Elmer's glue, you know, at that time. And it didn't even come into play. You know, it's just like, there's a lot of different things that you have to look for
yeah.
in these bottles. And just to know that if they're, just call the winery.
Your face, Brandy. Stop looking at me like
that. Did this bottle exist at this time? Okay, if it did, great. Now do the other stuff.
Okay, yeah.
But don't, I mean, like,
that's the hard, like, it's like, oh, you just made up a fucking bottle of
you,
wine.
Yeah,
you made up a vintage wine.
That didn't exist at all, ever.
Get the fuck out of here with that bullshit.
Thank you.
Get the fuck out of here with that bullshit.
Like,
I'm gonna go to Target, and I'm gonna spend $10 on some wine.
And get, like, $5.
The only thing I spent, like, okay, so... So, do you remember when, you know, Jamal and I got married at the wedding? Mm-hmm. We had people sign a bottle of wine. So, I spent $15...
Oh, my God.
On those Is bottles of wine.
Are you serious?
Then they're both Pinot Noir, mm-hmm. and we haven't opened a bottle yet. So, I'm looking forward to cracking that bitch up in a few years.
Cracking it up or open?
Open.
It reminded me of Sideways when...
And I'm not drinking any fucking Merlot! I love Sideways. That movie's crazy.
Yeah, it just reminded me of Sideways. I'm like, these people, there's wine experts that know what the fuck they're talking about. And then there's wine experts who call themselves wine experts but don't know shit about wine. Then there's wine connoisseurs who have wine as their hobby. And then there's wine snobs who just drink expensive wine because they can. And that's what these guys were.
Yeah.
They were wine snobs. They didn't know shit about wine. And they're going around. I loved to watch his fucking face.
When he was like, you don't like it?
When he learned that fucking bottle of wine was garbage. Because that's the words that the other guy used. He was like, this is garbage. And they're like, you don't think it's real?
No.
He's like, it's not. Like, I know this bottle. I know this wine. Like,
yeah.
And I was just like, ha! Hollywood Jeff, take your stupid fucking sunglasses off. The whole time, even when he was in the fucking winery, the wine bar, he had his fucking sunglasses on. This fucking dude probably wears sunglasses when he's driving at nighttime.
I wear my sunglasses at night.
Fucking cause an accident, dumb shit. That's like one of the biggest fucking pet peeves that I have. Or see, maybe the guy was just always hungover, so he needed them on or whatever. But I'm like, are you that ugly that you have to cover your fucking eyes with your fucking sunglasses? I hate that. That bugs me so much. You're not cool. You're a fucking stuffy dick.
You're a stuffy dick.
That's gonna go on my freaking Instagram. Stuffy dick.
Stuffy dick. Yeah, he's in Taft. He's incarcerated at Taft Correctional Institution.
Uh-huh. And we can drive there right now.
We can. And his earliest possible release date is 2021. January 9th, 2021.
That's what I said. January 2021 is when he can get out. I'm gonna go to Taft and be like, why'd you do that, dude? They had tried to get him for the interviews. He didn't respond to their requests.
I'm sure you can go over there and get an interview, Brandy.
He didn't respond to their requests for
Did you know his other name was Dr. Conti?
Yeah, I saw that, but I didn't see any relevance.
So he was actually charged for wine fraud and mail fraud.
And mail fraud, yeah.
Yeah, interesting.
And actually, he was charged also for wire fraud, but he was convicted of mail fraud and that other one.
Wow.
Like, who knew wine fraud existed?
Exactly, yeah. It's just like, I think if there's money out there and there's people who want to spend a bunch of money, people are going to try and get your fucking paper, dude.
I'm gonna start a fraud. It's going to be...
It's going to be tattoo fraud.
Tattoo fraud.
Hey, do you want this really expensive tattoo? Give me $10,000.
I don't know how to do tattoos.
And so I'm going to tattoo you in gold.
That won't work.
Let's get the Amy's from Why I'm Single.
I know. Let's get involved in some fraud Amy's.
Other Amy's like, I don't think so. Amy D's like, no. I'm coming for you. And then we can get Nichols. And she's like, okay.
Let's do it. Why
not? I'm kidding, girls. You guys are stand-up ladies. We love you.
I'm like, what? Like, who comes up with this stuff? And the thing is, like, I don't understand. I would like to know what went through his head to think that he was gonna get away with this. Because the wineries and the vintners, they get these catalogs and they look at them. Mm-hmm. And they look at the auction, the stuff that they're...
Maybe they didn't care. They're like, well, I'm interested in this particular wine. This other stuff, I don't care. And they probably send these things out to any and everybody, anyone who showed up, anyone that's shown interest.
But you, as you're... Okay.
Shouldn't have taken this long. He's a vintner.
Yeah. Like, Laurent... Don, what is his name?
Duclos.
Don Pois. Whatever. Duclos. He was like, this isn't my shit, and I'm gonna fucking go stop this. Like, he came to this country to stop
ruining my fucking shit.
And like, that's exactly, he was like, that's a fucking stain on Burgundy for this fucking fake ass wine to be floating around. And I'm gonna stop whoever fucking did it.
Yeah, his name was Domaine Bonson.
No, that's the winery. That's the...
Made by the Domaine Ponson from the...
His name is Laurent Ponson.
Oh.
He's the family, like, you know, the Ponson family. But, okay, there was like three wines that people were asking for. There was, I can't remember what it was. There's one that it sounded Italian to me. And then there was the Clodou, that one.
Mm-hmm.
The Domaine Poisson one.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was another one. And those were the three that they kept.
Oh, Claude St. Denis. Claude St. Denis.
Laurent.
Oh, no, you said the Claude one. Anyway, it doesn't really matter.
Either. Yeah. They kept saying these names over and over and over. I was like, those are the ones that was probably... I mean, there was actually... He had labels for like all bunch of whole...
He probably could find something that was comparable to it.
Well, what he was doing was... He was... Okay. So he would get older Burgundies that... And newer ones that had the same notes.
Yeah.
So like he'd be like, okay, this one has
something
more
comparable.
Yeah. And then he would blend them. So he was doing a blending... And then he would taste it. If it didn't taste right, he would dump it. And
so
like he was write down every, like he was making formulas for these wines. Yes. He freaking would, on the bottle, he would write down what was in it.
So I thought he was just like swapping labels. Mm-mm. I didn't know he was actually mixing wine.
You weren't listening.
Because I was drunk.
Yes, no.
I've been drunk since yesterday. I told you I drank too much champagne yesterday. Aren't you listening?
He was blending wines. He was using, like, the older Burgundies as a base, and then he was mixing in these fucking California fucking wines. Oh, this one has more of a fruity taste, blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, he fooled the dumbasses, basically is what happened.
Mr. Dumas.
Because they were just bidding on these wines, and then they were, you'll see that this is real. Dude, it tastes like wine.
Skunk piss.
It tastes like wine. Yeah. That's the first thing. It tastes like wine. So if I go in there, like, I can't tell you if there are notes of... actually, I can. But I'm not the asshole that's like, this tastes like a cheeseburger. No. I can't do...
It tastes like
I'm
a
not,
BLT top.
I can tell you if there's vanilla in my white wine, my vanilla notes, because they don't actually put those in there. It's just the aging process.
It's with the aging process. It's the aging the barrel process and everything.
Creates the taste. It flavors the wine. But these dudes are just a bunch of dicks who fucking drink a bunch of fucking expensive wines because they can afford it. Yeah. That's it. Yes, that's it. Basically it.
If you guys can afford expensive wine, visit us on Patreon.
If you can afford expensive wine, be my sugar daddy. Or, how about that?
Or be Brandy's sugar daddy.
I need supplies.
Visit us on Patreon at Book of Lies Podcast or www.patreon.com/ Book of Lies Podcast. And why don't you be my neighbor?
So I was like thinking about this, right? Because I just like, I don't know why I like traveled into the Harry Potter world one day in my brain. Mm-hmm. What would your Patronus be?
Ooh, my Patronus would be, it'd be a ram.
Really?
Oh, well, I'm an Aries. And I think it would be a ram because I'd be like, hey, I'm going to be nice, but get in my fucking
I'm going to headbutt your fucking ass.
I'm going to knock you the fuck out of here.
I'm going to start fucking charging you.
Expecto Patronus! And then it's a fucking ram just boom, boom, boom. What will yours be?
I think mine would be a falcon.
Ooh. Why?
Because, like, ever since, like, I was a teenager, I, like, always wanted to fly. And I always have dreams of flying. Ooh. And I'm just like, I wish I could fucking fly. I want to fly.
Did you check out what your, what's that animal?
And I think I have some powerful fucking jaws. And I will bite your fucking face off.
And, like, falcons grab you, like, with their claws, right?
Oh, yeah. They pick up little puppies and eat them.
Fuck.
Or little kitties or rodents, whatever. They're birds of prey.
What's that animal called when you mix your it's
you mix what? What do you mix? What do you mix?
Your zodiac and the year you were born. It's your cardinal animal. Oh my god.
I don't know what that is. Spirit animal?
No, it's from Why I'm Single. It's your
So what is it called? Your what now? Cardinal animal?
Your primal zodiac. That's what it's called.
Oh my god. That took you forever.
It's in my phone. It's called your primal zodiac. So mine is a Doberman pincher. Mm-hmm. And mine says, which I feel like is so true. So it's like my primal, okay, so it's much like the animal namesake, members of the Doberman pincher sign are something of a contradiction. They can be dominant and aggressive one minute, then insecure and anxious the next. Doberman pinchers are very focused individuals. Once they decide what they want, there is no stopping them. The only downside is that they don't plan very well, and their impulsive actions get them in trouble. They rarely worry about this, though, as they have a way of bouncing back from most bad situations. Dobermans have trust issues that stem from their own naivete. They are consistently wary of what to trust because they have a tendency to believe anything they're told.
Are you gullible?
I am a little gullible. Members of this sign are typically outgoing and adventurous and think that everyone should be. They enjoy taking others with them on their adventures and acting as a guide and helper, hoping and expecting that everyone else will enjoy it as much as they do. What's yours?
Mine is a penguin.
Ooh, okay.
So it says, intelligent, curious, and social, those born under the sign of the penguin love nothing more than coming up with creative solutions to any kind of problem, mm-hmm. which is kind of true. This is the sign of thinkers and analysts. Okay, I get it. Those inquisitive about how everything works, that's exact. I remember when I took that, you don't remember, but I took that fucking TV apart and mom was pissed.
You take everything apart.
I don't do it anymore, but I did. Yes, I used to take shit apart. And then I can never put it back together.
Exactly.
Members of this sign are often very intellectually advanced at an early age, and this strong desire to learn drives the majority of their life decisions as they grow up. Many intellectual signs tend to be solitary. I am, mostly. But penguins are the rare breed that require a good amount of socialization. I like to go out every now and then, but I am like a fucking loner. I was like thinking that yesterday. I was like, I need to fucking go out more. I need to be more social.
I was so happy to hear that you went out with Lucinda.
Their happiest moments are when they solve a puzzle. Yes, that's true. Or conquer a challenge. That's also true. The sense of pride coming from their accomplishments is always a highlight of their days. But they can't properly celebrate by themselves. Penguins need others around to share in their delight. That's also true. They also need a certain amount of attention in order to feel resolved with one challenge and move on to the next. I don't think I need that much attention.
It doesn't have to be 100% accurate, but I am naive at certain points. I'm like, really? Is that true? And then I Google it because I'm not sure. Or I'll ask somebody about something. It. Like, if I'm just like, that's not true. Is it? And I'll look into it.
Is that true?
But I am about an adventure. I do like to take people along for the ride, and I do hope you're having as much fun as I am. And I am very spontaneous, since, like, I'll get something in my head, and I'm like, let's fucking do it. I gotta do this. And then it's like, oh, shit, I didn't even think this out. But we're gonna figure this shit out. Let's fucking do it. Like, that's how I am.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Your primal zodiac.
Well, it's
pretty good.
It's kind of accurate. Yeah. There's like a couple of places where I'm like, nah. But yeah, I get it.
Okay, cool. Brandy, tell me about your thumbs up.
Oh, God. It's kind of a thumbs up and a thumbs down. Or a yay and a boo.
It's a yeah boo.
Because, okay.
It's a yeah but.
Yeah but. I went to the TLC concert yesterday at the Palmdale Amphitheater, and it was fucking fun. Mm-hmm. But it was only an hour long. And I'm like, what? Mm-hmm. Everybody, it was so funny, because we were all like,
it's over?
That's it? It's only an hour. Like, it was an hour.
So if you was late, you would have been fucked.
If you tried to show up at fucking 8:30, they probably would have been like, sorry, you gotta leave. Because it started at 8, and ended at fucking, like, I looked at my clock, it was 9:12 when it, like, ended.
Aww.
And I'm pretty sure it didn't start exactly at 8 because the fucking people, the Palmdale representatives and stuff were talking. So, but it was fun, you know, they brought me back. I heard, you know, some gems mm-hmm. that I hadn't heard in a while.
Nice.
And I was like, yes. Sixth grade, that was when I first got my fucking TLC tape.
We got it. Remember, we got from Rashawn from our birthday, we got Crazy Sexy, like the,
I didn't get Crazy Sexy.
The red one. You probably got a tape.
I bought Crazy Sexy Cool, the CD, but the first tape, it was a tape.
Okay.
It was on the TLC tip.
On the TLC tip.
Yes. And I remember I would play, what about your friends? All loud out the window, because that was when fucking Lynn Sanchez, that was like right after Lynn Sanchez, and I weren't friends anymore because her parents said so.
Oh. Fuck her. Anyway. And her parents.
Anyway. So what's your thumbs up?
I like hanging out with my friends.
Okay.
I like hanging out with my friends too.
That's a thumbs up? What does that mean?
Like, I you know what I really like? Honestly, it kind of touched me a little bit, because you know Rupa was there with her kids and Freya was there with her kids, and it was just like we didn't like grow up together, but we were in college together and we're all like the same age, and our kids are hanging out with each other.
But you didn't go to college with her.
Me and Freya are the same age.
Okay.
And I just thought it was awesome because, like, you know, Jace loves Kendall. Like, he's like, is Kendall going to be there?
How old is he? He's like 5?
He's about to turn 7.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because their birthdays...
I thought he was younger than that.
Their birthdays are a day apart. So Kendall turns 10 on the 23rd, and Jace turns 7 on the 24th.
Maybe I should do, like, a joint birthday one day.
Well, she was like...
Someday.
Well, it was cute because she's like, well, I'm going to Six Flags for my birthday. Do you want to come?
Aw!
And, he was like, oh, well, my birthday is the next day. She's like, I know. And I was like, you know, we're going out to Houston. He was like, but you're not going to be here on the 24th, huh? And we're like, no, she's going to leave. And he was like, oh, man. Like, they were trying to make plans. Like, you guys are kids. Knock it off.
By the way, I got her a planner for her birthday.
Oh, she would love that.
I told her I was going to get her one. And did you get my... And I don't think she keeps calling it. She doesn't call it a planner. She says something else. And I'm just like...
Well, anyway, let me finish. Mm-hmm. I just thought that was cute. And then, like, Gavin loves Kendall. And so, like, I think the kids are just, like, so close in age. And I love that they're growing up together. And, like, when we get together, like, the one time a year in Fresno and we hang out, that they're growing up together. You know what I'm saying? I just hope they kind of keep this bond and take it with them later on in life and just kind of remember this. Do you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? So that's my thumbs up for the kids. Like... You know, they get on my nerves sometimes, but I fucking love the shit out of them.
Of course.
And I hope they appreciate the shit that, the struggle that we do for them.
Honestly.
The struggle that, you know, everyone's parents
The struggle
do.
Is fucking real.
The struggle is fucking real. So, these kids will eventually remember these and think back in the nostalgia. I'm like, oh, remember this. I remember this. Bap, 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 bap.
Yeah, yesterday,
This is going on like 2 hours.
Is it?
140.
Oh my god. Well, okay, real quick, Lucinda was like, we were going through her pictures, And there was, like, pictures of us at the fucking Dave Matthews Band concert back in 2005. Mm-hmm. And then there's pictures of the kids when we went camping. And I was just like, oh my God, Jelani was so little. And Caitlin was so little. Because Caitlin's, like, she's at fucking ABC now. And Jelani is, you know, about to be almost graduating high school. Yeah. And I'm just like, ugh. God, that was so long ago.
Dude, it's crazy. Like, time just flies by.
Yeah.
It's nuts. So, whatever. Oh my God, I'm so rude. Hey, if this is your first episode, hi. How are you?
Oh my God, I'm so rude.
Did you like it? I hope you enjoyed it. And for you guys coming back, welcome back. Thank you for enjoying us. And being a part. Don't hate, Brandy.
I just love it when you're always off key.
I think I was on point.
Oh, okay. Cool.
You guys let me know. Because Brandy's a hater.
Hey, man. I'm just saying.
Yeah, but if you did like what you heard, please leave us a review. Again, it does help us get found. You know, we're just two chicks in a room talking to a microphone.
And on a floor. Sitting on a floor.
So leave us a review. That helps us out. It's something free that you can do for us. So we really would appreciate like 3 minutes of your time.
Yeah.
To like it, subscribe, give us 5 stars. And if you didn't like it, tell us why and still give us 5 stars. Thanks. You can visit us online at www.bookoflifepodcast.com. Did I drop that W?
Yep.
www.bookoflifepodcast.com. You can find all of our social on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. You can find us there. And let me just say something really quick. Audrey in her movie.
Hepburn? Oh, okay.
It's called Aftermath.
Mm-hmm.
And she wants to go to some festivals. What's that called?
Film festivals.
So she's trying to put this movie together.
So it's going to be feature length.
Or is it just going to be? It's a feature length film.
Oh, okay.
So she wants to go to some festivals and she...
I want
to
see it!
She's doing crowdfunding. So I went ahead and I put it up on our Facebook, excuse me. I put it up on our website, bookoflifepodcast.com, on our show notes page. So take a look at our show notes page. There's quite a few things there. And you can learn more about Aftermath, the film that we saw at the LACMA. Well, we saw a few minutes of it. At the LACMA.
I saw the whole thing. Well, yeah.
Well,
the whole short film.
The whole short film of it.
Right.
And she's doing a GoFundMe. So if you want to help her get this film seen by more people, go check out her GoFundMe page.
Yeah.
And help a girl out. You know what I'm saying? And
you know what I'm saying? Do you know what I'm saying?
Do you know what I'm saying? Give her a few dollars. Help her get this movie. She's only looking for like $2,000. That's it.
That's so low budge.
It's so low budge. So let's say give her $1. Give her $2. Give her $3. Give her what you can and help this film along the way. And then if it does really good, she's going to put me in her second movie. I'm trying to get in the show.
What?
Extra work.
Can I help with the script or something? That would be cool.
Brandy is a writer, guys. Like I was actually saying is she has 3 books that you can read. She has 2 novellas, Smuggled Love, and then the other one is like Deception or something like that, right?
There's, okay.
Deception.
So the first one, it's Smuggled Love. That's the, like the series or whatever. And then the first one is like Addiction and...
Deception.
I can't even fucking remember.
I just saw
because the fucking, the title was not my idea.
Oh,
unfortunately.
Okay.
I had ghostwritten though. That first one I ghostwritten.
If you guys
want
to learn more about that so, book, whatever. We can talk about it. But the first one is called Smuggled Love, Obsession and Love.
Obsession and Addiction.
And then the other one's called Double Cross.
Deception and Betrayal. Yeah.
Deception and Betrayal. Yeah. And they're only like $3 on Amazon. So why don't you go ahead and download it. It's a quick read. It's a little hot. It's like a little romance crime thing.
It's called Erotica.
Oh, Erotica. If you're into Erotica, give it a spin. And then her her novel, Life, Love, and Margaritas is on there too. So Brandy is a writer. So Audrey, if you're looking for a writer, Brandy's all about that life because Audrey is a listener of the podcast. So thank you for your support, boo.
Yay!
Love it. So I think that's all I have for you guys. Woot, woot. Oh, today is Prime Day still. Amazon Prime Day. It actually starts on Monday.
Okay. Because I thought I missed it. I'm broke anyway. I don't have any money to spend.
This is the future. So it started yesterday on Monday, and it is still going on today, Tuesday.
Yesterday on Monday. Oh, okay.
This is the future. Okay. So, this is the future. I know I want to go on Amazon Prime and find a few good things.
I don't think I'm making tacos.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, that's all we have for you guys today. Thank you so much for listening, and check us out on social. Find us. I follow back. If you don't unfollow, I will still follow you. So that's rude if you unfollow people. Super rude.
It is very rude.
Super rude.
Very, very no-no.
Naughty. Spank, spank. Anyway, I'm Sunny Hepburn.
And I'm Brandy Fleek.
And this is Book of Lies, the podcast. Have a great week.
Yeah.
Ciao.